From the DLC Media News Center, this is Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program produced by the DLC Media News Center. Our guest today on Focus on the Community is Jim Meese. He is not only a Park County Commissioner, but Jim is pretty well entrenched in the Park County Covered Bridge Festival, which is coming up. Good morning, Jim. Thanks for joining us.
Morning, Barry. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, the reason I wanted to get you on here is because you've been to every Covered Bridge Festival that there ever has been.
Yes, I have. Since I was seven, they started in 57, and we had maple syrup that first year, and my mom worked with Eastern Star making apple butter that first year, so been an every-year event.
Do you remember what kind of crowds we had in the first festival?
I do. It was everything was on the square, of course. There was no place else to go in the county, and parking was impossible. You couldn't find a place to park, and there were good crowds, even in the rain. But I think back on the clothes. I look back at the people of 57 with the ladies with the big hair or the big coat, you know, and everybody had scarves over their hair if it was windy at all. And I just think about the changes in that over these last 60-some years.
Yeah, I'll bet. Well, now it's spread out a little bit. It's not only on the square at Rockville, but it's everywhere all over the county. What are the hot spots for the festival?
Well, it really depends what you're looking for. There are actually 10 locations that we advertise through the Convention and Visitors Commission as being spots for a festival. The biggest ones, of course, are the three big ones would be Rockville, Bridgeton, and Mansfield. Mm-hmm. But little smaller towns, Rosedale, Montezuma, Tangier, Bloomingdale certainly, they all have really good events going on up there. Tangier has that Berry Beef, which has been a part of the festival for really a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Bloomingdale now makes the apple butter that the Eastern Star used to make on the square right there in Rockville. Montezuma has crullers, just like the Catholic Church does in Rockville.
Yeah.
So everybody's got something. Rosedale's got a community center full of vendors and doing things. So now it really is spread out. In fact, I don't know that you could get to all the places every year. We get a lot of people come through. We've had customers coming to us, been buying our stuff for over 50 years. And they kind of pick out a couple, maybe a big one and a small one to go to in 1 year. Then they try to move around the next year.
Yeah. When did you see the flea markets and everything start cropping up along the roads and the highways coming in and out of town?
That probably happened in the, I'm guessing maybe the 80s, 80s or so. Begin to get a little more more free, I think. And there was really no charge for anybody in those days because the festival really didn't cost much to put on in those days.
Yeah.
Now we have the transit merchant license to help the outside people pay. But back in those days, it was mostly all Park County people, but most of those people aren't around anymore. And so most festivals like this last 12 or 15 years because the people who start them typically would be in their 40s or 50s. And after 12 or 15 years of it, they get too old to do it. And there's no kids coming up behind them to do it. Yeah. So they just die and go away.
Yeah.
And Park County kind of went through that, too, here a couple times, actually, in my lifetime, where as the folks got older and no kids to carry on the business because there's no jobs here to keep the kids locally. And so you had to make a choice, either let it die out or start letting outside vendors come in and offer things. So you tried, especially in the early years, to jury those things. They certainly jury those things still at Rockville on the Square. To get under the tents, you have to have a quality product, and you have to be a quality provider and try to keep it as nice as it can. But it's not all Park County people anymore, although in the last couple of years, we have gotten more young people coming in and doing crafts in Park County, and it's a wonderful thing to see.
Was there ever a point where it looked like that the festival was just going to fade away and not come back?
No, I don't think I ever remember a time it was going to fade away, but it was going to go through that change of letting non-Park County people come in and set up. And that's when the idea of that transient merchant license came up. Otherwise, you had people coming from a neighboring county setting up, maybe having a million people coming by your stand, selling all your stuff, and then going back home and not leaving a dime to the county to help pay for that. And we didn't want that festival. I can say I wasn't involved with those years, of course, but as far as county people, we don't want that burden being on the taxpayers who don't participate in it to benefit from, because it was created in 57 to benefit Park County people. Mm-hmm. They had gone through some tough times with flood, and the radar base in Rockville had closed. Over at Newport, the chemical plant had closed, and so they were pretty desperate times. Mm-hmm. And so it was created to help them. But as they aged and passed on and went away, you either make some changes to adjust that. But if you're going to have people who aren't paying property taxes to keep this going, then you got to have some source of income to keep that going. You can't dump all that on the Park County people.
That makes sense. You know, Billy Creek Village used to be quite a hot spot for the festival, and it kind of faded away, and now I see it's beginning to come back again.
It does have new life, and that's really a thrill. I know my mom was on the Long Range Planning Commission with Park County Incorporated. Park County Incorporated, in case people don't know, was an entity created by the commissioners back in 57 for the purpose of promoting this festival and putting it on. And really, they do most of the operational things now. I mean, it's still a county operation, and they have oversight through the county. But as far as the day-to-day stuff, Nisa Jones is just doing a wonderful job of promoting this. We've had some wonderful executive secretaries that have really promoted and done well and put on a really good face for guests coming to Park County. It's been a good relationship.
Yeah. All right, one thing we've got to talk about, parking.
Right.
No matter where you go in the county, you got to find a place to park if you're going to come through the festival and go through the flea markets.
Well, in Rockville, it used to be impossible.
Yeah.
People were parking in their yards at every place. But now that it's spread out, it's not quite so bad. But if you go any place, Mansfield, Bridgeton, certainly, there are parking lots at every entrance coming in from whatever direction you're coming. And that's a major moneymaker, but it's really a necessity. There is no place to park all those cars. Yeah. We're talking about 1.5 million to 2 million people coming in over a 10-day period, which is really an unimaginable number. This is a little county with an infrastructure set up for 17,000 people, and all of a sudden for 10 days, you've got 1 million people, at least 150,000, 200,000 people a day that you have to provide for and deal with, and that's a bunch. But I think they do well. I think, like anything, you see a niche that needs to be filled, somebody's going to step up and do that.
Well, as people are coming into the festival, maybe first-timers, is there a checklist? What do they need to bring, or what do they need to expect as they come into the festival?
I think most of the advice given either through PCI or other people, or certainly people who have come for years, is to do Rockville first, because Rockville still is the headquarters. Okay. That's where the information booth is. That's where Park County Incorporated is set up. And all that is right there on the square. They provide bus tours that you can get on and just let the bus take you around to some of these routes. So that's probably a good starting point. And they can give you maps, they can give you information, they can let you know what's going on in different areas. But then it's wide open to you. Then you can go wherever. But you got to keep in mind, if you're going to go from Rockville to, say, Bridgeton, it's not, even though it's only 10 miles down there, it's going to take you some time to get there, because it's going to be stop-and-go traffic that whole 10 miles. Yeah.
There's a lot of people who want to take the tour of the bridges on their own. Do you suggest that, or you suggest the bus trips?
I would suggest that just because that's the way I am.
Okay.
My wife and I won't take cruises, for example, because they won't let me drive. So I have to
there
drive.
There may be a good reason for that.
There could be. So I have to drive. And that's what I would do. That way you can stay as long as you want. But really, the bus tours are really nice.
Yeah.
I remember my mom when I was a kid. I was probably only 9 or 10 at the time. And of course, we didn't have any money. And I wanted to take a bus tour. Mm-hmm. I didn't think she would let me because it cost money at the time.
Sure.
But she did let me go. In fact, she encouraged me to take the most expensive one, the longest one. And I thought she was doing me a favor. Then I realized I was just going to be out of her hair for a longer amount of time. So put him on a bus, take him away, and life will be good today.
Moms are smart like
Moms
that.
Moms are smart like that. Yes, they are.
Now, all right. Now, we got to talk about the food.
Okay.
I mean, there are food vendors everywhere, but there's some great food available at the Park County Covered Bridge Festival.
There really is. And some of it's just amazing. Who thinks up some of these things that there are? But, for example, up at Tangier, we talked about that buried beef. That's where they actually take beef, and they wrap it, and they bury it in the ground under hot coals. It cooks all day. It is so tender. It's so wonderful. That used to be up on the square, too, but it just got too busy to be able to do it up there.
Yeah.
So that certainly would be one. The crawlers on the square at Rockville, or the crawlers in Montezuma would be an example. But you can really find out anything. There was a guy that makes ice cream right on the square. It used to be done by the Boy Scouts years ago, but it just got too big for them to be able to do it. And he's got a little hit-and-miss one-banger engine that operates his mixer. And just to watch him have that machine going and turning that ice maker and hearing that pop off of that engine go, it's just fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
You can get real apple cider. I'm not talking about processed apple cider, pasteurized apple cider. I'm talking about a guy there with throwing some apples in this press and just pressing down, making the juice, and you can just drink it straight from the apples.
Oh, boy.
Things that you just don't get anyplace else.
Yeah.
There are corn cob on the square, steak sandwiches on the square, sausage sandwiches. There's just too many things to even mention. But all the big venues have all the food vendors. Rockville, certainly.
Yeah.
And they have a big mix. And most all of those are operated by not-for-profits. So all those profits go back into the county.
That's good, yeah.
But Mansfield and Bridgeton also have tons and tons of food vendors as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, over in Mansfield, the mill, is it open for people to go through during the festival?
The mill in Mansfield is open. It's now owned by the state, but I know they have hours of operation that it is open. The mill certainly at the Bridgeton is open all year long, and they have huge amounts of vendors available in Bridgeton. And, of course, the bridge is there that we replaced just a few years ago when it was burned by an arson. But the whole community came together, and we rebuilt that that bridge just from scratch. And that was just all done by people volunteering their time and the trees and efforts and get that done.
It was built just like it was built originally, right?
It's exactly what it was before, yes. Yeah. The only thing different is we had to put side rails on the inside to keep people from stepping off the off the edge of the runway. But that is the only thing different. Other than that, it's sitting on the same piers as the old bridge. It's made in the same way.
Well, I think hats off to the commissioners and the whole county for the upkeep on the bridges. They're fantastic.
It is. That's a constant struggle, of course. And we get some money from the state, about $1,500 for each covered bridge. And you don't think $1,500 would go very far on a covered bridge, which it wouldn't, but not every bridge needs repaired every year.
Yeah.
So we have a pretty good process of painting and re-roofing and those types of things. Like this year, we had a tree fall down at Roseville, at Coxville, and it hit the bridge. That had to be repaired. But those repairs are always made, and we always now. It wasn't that way, you know, years ago. But always make those, keeping in mind the historic balance of what they were and want to put them back the same way they were.
How many of the, well, first of all, how many bridges do we actually have in the county?
We have 31. 31 covered bridges. And people ask a lot of times about, why is it Park County has so many covered bridges? They think it was just genius of the commissioners, you know, 30 years ago or now 50 years ago to save those things. But really the reason is, and I've said this a lot of times when I give a talk somewhere, it's because we're a poor county. We weren't going to tear down a perfectly good bridge and replace it with a concrete and steel bridge if we didn't have to. Mm. Now, these bridges, a lot of cases, have gotten to where they can't handle the farm equipment that needs to get across them. Yeah. So we have about five locations where we have bypassed the covered bridges. But instead of tearing down that old bridge and putting the other bridge in its place, we've kept the old bridge up and built a bridge next to that so people can get around. Bridgeton would certainly be one of those examples.
But many of the bridges are still working bridges. I mean, you can drive across them.
Yep, all but a half dozen of them. The other buses go every day. School buses go across every day.
You know, years ago, I remember coming out, my wife and I, and we got up to one of the bridges, and it said up there, it said, cross at a walk. And I thought, oh, we can't drive across this. You're supposed to walk across it.
Yep.
But what's that mean?
That cross at a walk is when the horses, if you think about standing on a scale and you kind of jump down on it, you're going to really get that weight to go up. Well, the horse is doing the same thing. If that horse is trotting across that bridge, he's going to have all that weight on just those two hooves. But if you break that and walk it, it won't have near as much weight. Same thing with soldiers when they're walking across bridges. Mm-hmm. If soldiers are marking in stride, they have them break stride and just there's a name for that. I don't recall what it is.
It creates a rhythm.
It almost, does, yeah. Mm-hmm. So all that weight on the bridge, so by breaking that up.
Yeah.
So that's what the walk is about. Walk your horse, don't trot him across. Yep.
Jim, the festival seems to grow every year. You have any idea how many people actually come to this festival?
Well, we have an idea. It's just a guess. Now, back, probably 20-some years ago, Purdue did a study, and they guessed then, that about 1.5 million people probably came, and that's been about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
The estimate now, or the guesstimate, I guess I should say, is about 2 million people now come over that 10-day period to the festival. So what people don't realize, I think, and it's hard for me to even realize, that this for sure is the largest festival in Indiana.
Yeah.
It may well be the largest one in the United States. The only one we think that may be close to getting 1 million people, and we're getting almost twice that many, but 1 million people would be the Iowa State Fair. And then there's a festival in Germany, Strassenfest, that may be in that 1 million category as well. So it's a very real possibility that this Covered Bridge Festival is indeed the largest festival in the world.
My goodness.
Isn't that just amazing
about
that?
Here in Little Park County.
Park County.
Yeah.
And what's really shocking is our infrastructure is set up for a county of 17,000 people, and all of a sudden you've got 2 million people coming for a couple of weeks, you know?
Yeah, I understand that bumper-to-bumper traffic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Have you ever talked to anybody as far as the distance they've come to the festival?
We have people all the time who come and let us know where they're from. We get them from every state they come in. We have people that have been buying off of us for better than 50 years.
Yeah.
I had a couple come in, and they were on their way from Indianapolis to St. Louis for their wedding. This is back some time ago, and they were telling us that, and they just saw this thing going on, so they pulled over and stopped, and they've been back every year, and they bought our candy every year and tea every year, and they have been coming for 54 years. So for 54 years, they've been buying our candy.
How about that?
Those kind of things, that's why I do it. It's it's just fun to see them. You only see them once a year, but you recognize them when you come up.
Sure.
Couldn't tell them their name, but I know you, kind of thing. It's just a fun atmosphere.
It's fun to watch people.
It is fun to watch people.
Yeah, we were talking about vendors a while ago. There are some vendors I know that work all year long to prepare for the Covered Bridge Festival, and this is their big income is just for this festival.
It really is. There are many, many people that I know that this is their income. This is what they do.
Yeah, right.
And it's a tough business model to have a complete dependence upon a festival over which you have no control, So you're really there for the ride, but as long as everything goes off well, it's good. It's a good thing. We have some people. We have stores that open up only during the Covered Bridge Festival. Yeah. I'm not so thrilled to see that because I want the vibrancy of the county to be seen every day. But I understand if that's what you do. That's how that is. But by and large, there is something going on in Park County every week of every year.
Yeah.
Not just on the Covered Bridge time.
Yeah. You know, speaking of the stores staying open, we've got a special event this year where we've got a couple of nights where they're going to stay open late.
Yeah,
we
do. The
festival's going to be open late.
Yeah, that first Saturday, October 14th, in Rockville, the vendors and local businesses are going to stay open and operate till 8 p.m. So typically the festival would be shut down at 6.
Mm-hmm.
But this gives people a chance, if they're out doing other things, to get back into town and see what there is to see up until 8 o'clock. So that should be a good thing. That same day, by the way, Park County Incorporated is bringing back the Queen Pageant. So we're going to have a Queen Pageant that day as well.
So we have a Park County Covered Bridge Festival Queen.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
And that's going to be at the Rich Theater. And the Rich Theater, if you don't know where it is, it's just right downtown. It's just half a block off the square, so you can't miss it. And that all starts at 2 o'clock. It only costs $5 to get in, but that whole thing is to help the festival, of course, go on. So on that very first Saturday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you've got a Queen Contest you can go see at the Rich Theater. And if you go out and see the county and come back, you can see things in the county then and under the tent until 8 o'clock that night.
That's really fantastic. Well, I guess we should warn people as they are coming into town, whether they're, no matter which direction they're coming, down 41, up 41, up 59 or whatever, there's going to be traffic.
Going to be a lot of traffic. In fact, I think it's a good thing to bring up Bridgeton if we could, because this year it's gotten so crowded.
Yeah.
It's one of those things we wish we had done this 30 years ago, but you didn't have the need 30 years ago.
Yeah.
But now the numbers of people are so much. We have closed this year, closed the main road going through Bridgeton where all the vendors are set up because it's just not a safe mix anymore of cars and trucks and all those thousands of people milling about on that street.
I often wondered that. That always looks scary to me.
It has been. And a lot of people think it should have been done before. But, you know, some things you don't think of or just don't try until it comes to be where something's got to be done.
Yeah,
well, we're
at
that point. Something's got to be done. Yeah. And really, I think most of the people are in supportive. Some still, you know, like any change, it's difficult to accept. But I really want people to understand you cannot this year drive through Bridgeton between the hours of 9 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the evening.
Okay.
So if you're used to coming from the north and parking on the east side, say Hawkins parking lot, you can't get there without driving out and around the town. Now, that's not like driving around Chicago. You're driving around a little village. You can find your way around.
Yeah.
But there are parking lots on every entrance on the north, east, and south side. So even if you're coming from the north side and you can no longer drive through to your east side parking lot, there is plenty of parking right there on the north side. So I think it's not going to affect the number of people. It's not going to affect the number of cars. There just might be different people parking in lots they don't normally park in because that's what they have access to.
So pedestrian traffic only through the main drag there.
Yes, sir. Pedestrian traffic only. Yep.
Yeah. I guess we ought to tell people, too, how to dress coming up. I mean, the weather could be anything. You know, the first weekend, it could be, hopefully, it's going to be fall-type weather.
I have seen it snow, and I have seen it be 90 degrees.
Yeah,
I've seen it rain where it was such a mud hole on the square. You just never know.
Yeah.
So the suggestion I think most people make is really, and it may sound dumb for somebody to tell you how to dress, but really layers is the way to go because you may have to add some, or you may have to take some off. It's Indiana.
And wear comfortable shoes.
Absolutely. You're going to put on a lot of miles.
Yeah.
And bring that Alka-Seltzer and the Tums with you because you're going to be munching on lots of stuff.
Yeah, you're going to be eating a lot of food. You know, I looked over there. We're doing broadcasts over there every year, and here comes people that are pushing their strollers down the aisle through the tent. And they have the puppy dog in the strollers.
See them all the time. And they're not supposed to be under the tent, but how do you keep all of them out?
I understand that. Yeah.
But like you said, you see a lot of people in strollers. Had a lady a couple of years ago, and I had to chuckle. She was struggling. She came over, and she just thought this is the dumbest thing, not the festival, but her. Because she didn't know what she was getting into. She thought it was this festival. She was all dressed up, had high-heel shoes, and it was muddy. She couldn't walk. It was just awful. She wanted to know if we had any shoes she could have. I directed her across the street. I knew they sold tennis shoes across the street, so maybe they took care of her.
Well, as far as the vendors go, you'll be able to find a lot of things. I mean, handmade items, but there's also T-shirts and hats and jewelry, everything, right?
Everything. And I really don't want to classify any organization, but typically it is said, so it's not me making this up, it's typically said Mansfield is more of a good flea market area type thing with more commercial products, perhaps, and they have the tent row set up selling those types of things. I think they are gaining more crafters, but as far as crafters, if you're looking for handmade items and more craft items, certainly Rockville Square and certainly Bridgeton would be the places to go. Yeah. But I know they have crafters in Rosedale and Montezuma and Bloomingdale and Tangier, all those places as well. So hopefully you get a chance to go out and see all of them.
Are you having sassafras candy this year?
We are having sassafras candy. I just got that all made. We make about a ton of that a year for the festival.
Do you make that from scratch?
I make it from scratch. I make it myself. Now, we don't. It's not made out of sassafras root, the candy. The tea is.
Yeah.
Sassafras tea we sell is the root.
Yeah.
But the candies, back in 1960, if you may recall, there was a big scare about saffron and sassafras. Yeah. They pulled it all off. My mom was a pharmacist, and they had to pull all the saffron, including products, off the shelf. They used to use it for flavoring and medicines and stuff. Mm-hmm. But they had a facility that gave a quart of that oil. It's called saffron. It's just a trace amount in sassafras.
Yeah.
But they gave a quart of that, as I understand, to a horse at a testing facility, and the horse eventually went blind. So the knee-jerk reaction was to pull it all off the shelf till we find out what's going on.
Yeah.
But you and I are old enough to remember when salt was the bad guy and saccharin was the bad guy.
Sure.
And now, actually, they've turned out maybe we need some all of those things.
Yeah, so
I remember grease being a bad thing. Now they're saying you really need to have a little grease in your diet, you know. So,
that's right.
So bring back lard. I'm all for that lard stuff.
So, yeah, the sassafras tea is good stuff. If you've never had sassafras tea, you need to try it.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And to think that those... Well, it's like maple syrup. We do maple syrup, too. I just love that kind of stuff because you're taking something that nature gives you. You're harvesting it. You're making something good out of it.
That's
not
right.
only good tasting, but it's good for you, too.
That's right. And it's been around for hundreds of years.
Forever. And who figured that out? Who figured out how you dig that root up and put in some water and cook it and drink it?
Dig out a dirty root and boil it.
Yeah. It's like, here, Mikey, come here and try this. See what you think.
Well, we want to invite everybody up to Park County for the festival and have a good time. And hopefully... everybody, the weather cooperates and everybody does have a good time.
The biggest thing to ask, I think, is, of course, drive safely.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many people out there. And probably the biggest word of the day and probably the most difficult, you've just got to be patient. There's going to be a lot of people around, and they're just not going to get out of your way. You're going to have to deal with them and take your turn as it comes.
That's right. Jim Meese, thanks for joining me again. Jim is a Park County Commissioner, but been involved in the festival since day one.
Day one.
And we appreciate you taking time out to be with us today.
I appreciate your help and get people get information out. Thank you.
All right. This has been Focus on the Community, produced by the DOC Media News Center. This program is broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. on 104.9 WAXI and at 7 a.m. on WAMB The Breeze, 1130 a.m., 106.9 and 99.5 FM. And on Sunday morning at 6 a.m. on 105.5 The Legend and at 7 a.m. on 92.7 The Rock, WFMB. For a replay of this program or any past programs, go to any of our station websites. Thank you for listening to Focus on the Community.